what I need. Yes, he does. My Father knows what I need. Everything I go through, he knows what's best for me. My Father knows what I need. Amen. Helen can say amen to that tonight. Aren't you thankful? Amen. Amen. Sometimes we actually think we know what we need. He knows what we need. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be his wonderful name. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Hallelujah. I'd like to read the our scripture from this morning that we opened with. Once again, Deuteronomy chapter 11, starting at the 22nd verse. For if you shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command to you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, so keep the commandments diligently, not slothfully, diligently, do them, love the Lord your God, and walk in all his ways, and cleave unto him. Become one with him. Unite with him. Be identified with him completely. His ways are your ways. His will is your will. Then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you. And you shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. From the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea, shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you. What a promise. Amen. For the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as he hath said unto you. How many believes that tonight? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, it's with great thanksgiving in our hearts that we come before you once again, Lord, and with thanksgiving and love and peace and joy. Lord, there's no place that we would rather be than in your presence. I ask that your blessings would be upon each and every one, Lord, as your word goes forth. Those that are not able to make it, Lord, those that are traveling, those that are recovering from an attack of the enemy, we pray that you would be with them. Those that are needing comfort, that you would be with them, Lord. Those that would listen in, those that would listen in at a later time, we ask that your blessings would be upon each and every one. Father, we're looking to you, the author and finisher of our faith, to impart to us the words of life, for you alone have the words of life, and you alone have the life of the words. So, Lord, may you impart that to the hearer and to the speaker tonight, and we will be sure to give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I'd like to read the scripture that we finished with this morning from Joshua chapter 18, verses 1 through 3. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of the congregation there. And the land was subdued before them. And there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes, seven church ages, which had not yet received their inheritance, but at the end of the church ages. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are you slack to go to possess the land? We use that term slacker. What a slacker. A slacker is somebody that has the potential. A slacker is somebody that has so much laying before them, but they fail to walk into and possess what they could have. They're just kind of biding their time. They're just putting in just enough to carry on, but they're not putting their whole heart into it. How long are you slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? So they've been in the land at this point for 5 years or so now. And seven of the 12 tribes have yet to take possession of their land. Now, we know that the Lord said that these things would come in due season, that he would not run all the wild animals, run all the people out of the land right away, lest the wild animals would take over, but he would do it in stages, little by little. So we know that part of this is God's timing, part of this is God's plan. But part of this is also slackness on the part of the children of Israel. Seven of the 12 tribes have yet to take possession of their land. And of that seven, some of them are the most notable of the tribes, the most praised. The praised tribe hasn't taken their land. And so Joshua calls them all together and he asks them, what are you still waiting for? The land was subdued before them. The tabernacle was set up in Shiloh. And the Shekinah presence was veiled behind badger skins. God was in the land. The Lord promised them this land, but only five tribes had taken full possession of their inheritance. The people had been supported for many, many years and for a couple of generations by the supernatural. Great things had taken place among them as the Lord fought their battles and as the Lord provided time and time again for their needs, showing that he was their provider every step of the way. And when they came to the land, he used hornets to drive out some of their enemies. But even that began to taper off. As they begin growing, as they begin maturing in the land, they find that they're having to do more and more and more of the fighting. And they realize that more is actually required from them than was required when they just started out in their journey. And we know the same thing tonight, friends, is true about every one of us as New Testament believers under a New Testament covenant. When we first begin our walk with the Lord, we had baby trials because we were babes in Christ. And don't get me wrong, they didn't seem like baby trials at the time. But compared to the trials that you have as you grow and mature, they're baby trials. We only have to look back if you've been in this way for any period of time. We only have to look back just a little while to see that what we face as we grow in Him is harder in some ways than what we faced at the beginning. And we were comforted. There was a lot more emotion in the beginning, just as there is a mother shows so much emotion to a little baby, and that emotion is so comforting. And nothing against it, friends. We're not downplaying that at all, but there's a time when that emotion is crucial and it's not as critical later on. We don't need to be babied as we get older. We don't need to be petted. So we are given more and more is required of us. And then we're given more and more is required of us. And we're given more. We'd like to just stay babies, wouldn't we? We'd like to just be coddled and patted and burped and spoon-fed. But God begins to step back in terms of the supernatural that is being done in this land. And more of the fighting is done by the people themselves. And they begin to grow tired after a while. And they begin to grow weary of just constant battles. And they start to think, you know, I didn't realize I was going to have to fight so much for my inheritance. I thought when we came into the land that God was just going to chase everybody out. We were just going to move in and unpack the U-Haul and just, you know, set up house. And we all lived happily ever after. We're in the millennium. In the beginning, he just took the desire of cigarettes from us, or desires of so many things of the world. He just took those things from us. They were taken from us without a fight. When he took it, when he really got a hold of us. Not when we struggled, but when he sanctified us. He did the fighting. He did the battles. We didn't have to put much fight forth. We just had to hold fast to it. We just had to not go backwards, not play around with it. Say, Lord, thank you for setting me free. Now I'm going to stay free. I'm not going to flirt with this. The word came to us so much more easily in the beginning of our walk. Every time I opened the Bible, new things were being revealed to me. All things were new. And I was just rejoicing all the time. Hallelujah. Oh, look at this and look at that. I just read this, and you know what I got out of it? Every time I came to church, I was so excited to be in His presence. And I so looked forward to what He might do when we come together. And you believed that just about anything could take place. Nothing distracted you. You were so filled with faith and so filled with hope. So hopeful for your future. And in fact, you felt like your life had been changed so much that you thought you were actually rapture ready at that moment in time. And you were just beginning your walk. But then gradually you found that you were fighting more to read your Bible. You were fighting more to pray. I should get a couple of amens there. Just be honest. If it's easy for you, I want to live in your house. You found that it was getting harder to pray, harder to read your Bible, harder to stay in the Spirit. I didn't say that you didn't stay in the Spirit. I didn't say that you didn't pray. I didn't say that you didn't read your Bible. I said it's getting harder. And you had to fight harder to come to church. Things would try to pop up and get in the way. You had to fight harder to stay in fellowship with the believers. You had to fight your way through people issues and that were distractions to your walk. And you found that you were taking more and more effort on your part to have mountaintop experiences. You really had to set time aside to get in the channel. And you're praying, Lord, may this weekend be that those meetings. May these special meetings be those meetings. Brother Doug's not preaching tonight. We got another brother. May he light me up. You found that it was taking more and more effort just to have the very same kinds of experiences that you had in the past. Yeah, that's called growth. And it's natural for each and every one of us. Some probably said, well, what's wrong with just continuing on in this nomadic kind of life? I'm a happy camper. What's wrong with living in tents? Why do we need a place to call our own? Why don't we just stay free? Fellowship with everybody. Why do we need a church body? Why do we need a post of duty? Why not just live as church campers? Just be camper clubs. When nobody shouts for two services in a row, and when correction comes, people have to take a stand. Why not just move over to a fresh field and set up your tents over there? You know, what loyalty do you owe to this piece of land that you've set your tent up on? It's just temporary. What loyalty do you owe to a congregation? I mean tribe. We have the message of the prophet. Why not just pull aside and have home church? And why don't we just try to get along with everybody else that's living in the land? You're not supposed to cohabitate with them. You're supposed to run them off. Well, I'm getting tired of these daily battles, Brother Doug. I was fine with it when I was on Hallelujah Avenue. But now I'm having to work to have a few hallelujahs. Joshua said to him, why are you content to live in tents? and to pack water from the river daily. You don't even have any water sources that you can call your own. You can't even count on it. You have no patches of ground where the vines are growing and are bringing forth fruit. You don't have anything that you can rely on and count on. You have no pastures that you can tend and care for so that you can ensure that all of your livestock is fed, not just now, but year-round, without having to move around. You have no houses. You're living in tents. You have no idea where you're going to be from month to month. And you have nothing to leave your children the camping gear and hope for them to someday have something of their own. But you've just set them up to and trained them how to camp. How long will you be slack concerning the promises? 2.5 of the tribes had settled down, but not even in the land. They settled down on the east side of the Jordan River. They took their inheritance on the east side of the river. And some are getting smaller in numbers as time goes by. You see, their strength had something to do with their numbers, just as it does for us today. The more believers that there are in the church, the more of the pillar of fire there is in the church. Is that true? Amen. Now, don't get me wrong. We aren't deprived if we are a few in numbers. And we aren't more spiritual than the next church when we have larger numbers. But in this case, 5 of the tribes had settled down and they were taking possession of their land. So they weren't fighting any longer with the rest of these nomadic tribes. 5 of them are out of the fight. They've got their own land to fight over. They've got their own land to possess. And so there was less and less that were still living in tents. People began to, they weren't just going around from revival to revival to revival as they did back in the 60s. They began to settle down in churches and form churches. So there were less and less that were nomadic, that were still living in tents. And so those that were continuing to live in their land, they were having to fight their own battles with their tribe. And those that were still living in tents, they were fewer in number. And so they had to fight more and more because they were outnumbered by their enemies at this point. And each tribe faced their own enemies. When you first come to the Lord, you're coddled. You're protected. Thank God for that. Help is on every side. You're encouraged. Everyone wants to encourage you. Everyone wants to lend a hand. Everyone knows what it's like to start out in this walk. And as you grow and as you mature, you find that your own walk is an individual walk. It starts out as largely a church walk. You're walking with Him, of course. But you're relying more and more on others. So those that come in at the same time as you did, now they're spending more and more time occupying in their own walk. And less time at the restaurant with you after church. We've had people over the years say, well, you know, there's just not enough fellowship here. We just don't go out to the restaurant together like we used to. Well, you're not a baby anymore. It was important in the beginning for us to all hang out together and rejoice. But you've got your land to occupy now. There are fewer get-togethers between the services as each family focuses on taking possession of their own inheritances. The church friend group altars are being less and less attended as family altars are springing up in every home, as they should. some people will stream services. And they will assume that the services that they're streaming, that the churches are just on fire every moment of the time. And that heaven has come down to earth. And they think, man, if I could just go visit that church, it'll fix all my problems. Because my problem is geography. Friends, your problem isn't where you're living. Your problem is who you're living with. Well, if I do that, it'll clear up my depression. It'll fix all of my unhappiness with what I have now. I'll get around believers that are just on top of the mountain every minute of every day. And I'll never see any of their flesh because they are no longer mortal like I am. That's why I need to get around them. I need to be around angels. That church is perfect. I need to go to that church for a visit and my problems will be solved. But what happens when you get there? You just admitted that you weren't perfect. And so that's when you need to get there because you're not perfect. But by your logic, once you get there, that church will no longer be perfect because you're there. Well, it wasn't perfect when you got there either. Our young people at our church, they're just too human. They make mistakes. Some of them slip and fall. I know about that. I think everybody ought to know about that. They're so human. And I hate it when they just get back up and start walking with the Lord as if nothing happened. I hate that. Because I still have a problem with the fact that they made mistakes. You didn't see the altar that they went to. It doesn't have to be at church. That church that I'm streaming is just filled with angels. I don't argue with that a bit. But there's all kinds of angels. There's hell's angels. Don't look for an easy out, friends. That's the whole point of this. Don't look for an easy out because there is no easy out. There's not supposed to be an easy out. If he learned obedience through suffering, how are you going to learn it? No one is going to do that for you. You are going to have to fight for everything that has been promised to you. It's not going to be handed to you. God's not going to just open the Red Sea and have you walk through it and then swallow everything up behind you. He's already done that for you. That's called your old life. Press forward towards the mark. There's no easy street for you. Well, I'm so disappointed in our church. I thought that they were real Christians. But I found out they're still human beings. You left out the just like I am part. Well, you know, we left the church because we decided to squat on somebody else's property after they died. And the church wouldn't stand with us when we took possession of it. Where's their love? But how about this one? I mean, you can't make this stuff up. The trustees, they didn't fix the sound in the ladies' restroom. Oh, so you were planning on coming to the ladies' restroom for church? Well, we got to move out because those speakers, I just can't hear the sermon when I'm sitting on the toilet. Well, the church just won't do everything for us. Who do you think is fighting the battles of everyone else that is in the church? We do stand shoulder to shoulder We do lift one another up in prayer. We do share one another's burdens. But while we each do that, we also are fighting our own battles to possess our own God-given inheritance. Because this part is an individual walk. Welcome to the land of Canaan, friends, where it's no longer the entire group following after the miracles and following after the signs and following after the wonders when the prophet was on the scene. Welcome to the land of Canaan, where each individual must fight for themselves. It's you and God in a daily walk. And in daily battles. Yes. And in the family home is a family altar. And that's where the prayers go forth first. Amen. And in the family home is a family Bible. And in the family home is the message of the hour. And in the family car and in the teenager's car are electronic devices. I'm sure you heard about them. That the word can be heard through. When somebody takes the time to actually put something in there and listen to it. Oh, Brother Doug, this world is so evil. Do you know what those politicians just said? No, actually, I don't. I haven't heard it. Must be because I'm listening to a different voice. You think so? I can either listen to that or I can listen to the true voice. I can be discouraged or I can be encouraged. I can overcome or I can feel like I'm being overcome. Now Moses found his place on the other side of the River Jordan. He didn't come into the land. And the people, they had to come into their own land without the prophet being with them. Joshua, the type of the Holy Spirit, became their leader. And he told them where their inheritance was. He told them where to fight. Told them how to fight. And those that fought and fought and fought eventually began to settle down in their own inheritance as they were supposed to. And those that continued to dwell in tents, they were fewer and fewer as time went by. Some of them said, you know, I kind of like living in tents. My parents were tent dwellers. Why shouldn't I be? You know, they never went to church. Why should I go to church? No responsibilities. No permanence. No accountability. We can go anywhere we want to and call it church. We can have church anywhere. Sitting on the beach in your bikini. And calling that church. Well, I'm playing the tape. Yeah, but you're not hearing what you're hearing because on the tape, you're hearing a voice saying, go to church and put your clothes on. We went to a wedding yesterday and the minister had I think they call it a man bun. You ever seen that? Some hairball hanging on the back. Sissiest looking thing I ever seen. I mean, who cooked that up? What demon from hell said, I'm going to get the men to do this. And then we're just going to laugh our heads off. Because they're going to think they're cool. The service, the wedding ceremony, it was outside. Certainly nothing wrong with that. But many times, friends, people have outdoor weddings because they know others won't come if it's in a church. Now, don't run out of here saying I said that your wedding, because it was an outdoor wedding, was in that category. I'm just telling you that some people intentionally have it outside of the church because they know people won't come. Or maybe they're uncomfortable themselves having it in a church. So we sat down and we waited for others to take a seat. And of course, the sun's out. It's nice and bright, clear skies. And the ones that were sitting in front of us, they were coming from the very same outdoor open bar that many others congregated at just before the wedding began. And of course, they brought their drinks with them. Now, do you think they would have done that in a church? And I saw some of them look at one another and giggle and kind of shrug their shoulders as if to say, no big deal. Well, we know we probably shouldn't be drinking at a wedding, but no big deal. And I had to put blinders on to sit through it all because most of the women and girls were wearing dresses for the first time. And they didn't understand about wearing things underneath it or keeping everything together. And of course, the fashion gods, they show women going to weddings wearing string this and string that. And the minister started out by saying how hard marriages are. And I was wondering if this was a funeral or a wedding. And then he emphasized that it wasn't a wedding for the two that were standing up front, but we all had a responsibility in making that marriage work. And in this particular case, on both sides, it was broken home after broken home after broken home. So there was like eight sets of parents and grandparents. So they had us get up to do extended family pictures, and it's like being at a county fair. You don't know anybody. You're waiting for your part, and you're like, well, who am I standing next to, and how are you related to? It hurts. Man bun guy made marriage sound so difficult that I began to wonder, why would anybody want to go through with this if it's so difficult and mostly impossible to hold it together? If it takes a village to make this marriage work. And then the word diversity was tossed out there. And then something about how the minister went to a university and somehow marriage was like a university. Universe in a city or something. I don't know. He lost me. But somehow it was impingent upon all of us strangers at the wedding to make this marriage work. And then to make sure that the listener was absolutely and completely confused, we were reminded that God had brought this couple together and not man. Okay, well, if God did that, then why is it man's job to keep it together? If God brought it together. The vows were exchanged very quickly. Not much was said. There was no mention of obedience. There was no mention of protecting. There was no mention of God being first, and the two uniting together in him as they put him first. No mention at all. Instead, it's going to take a village to make this work. So I guess now we're all a bunch of village people. We got the YMCA group over there and the construction workers over here dancing around and singing. Somehow that's going to make it work. You wonder, how did we get to this place? You realize they're doing this it was a major church that was, the minister was from, a youth leader from the church. And you're wondering, how did we get so far from the gospel? How did we get so far from the word of God? I'll tell you how. The same way the children of Israel intermingled with the Philistines and the Canaanites and began to pick up their customs and mix their religion in with that. It creates something that you don't even recognize. It's such a perversion. When each of these tribes settled down in the land and took their inheritance, yes, they fought first as tribes. They fought first with their tribe in their land. But each tribe was made up of families. And each family eventually settled on their own portion of the land within their tribe, and they began to fight their own battles. Each family had to fight to keep, to claim and to keep what God had given to them. And of course, friends, the tribe would come together when the family or families were in need of help, but not before each family fought their own battles first. Now, we may not, there may be times when we're not available to help everyone 24 hours a day. But He will be with us in our individual walk every day. He's available 24/7. We will do our best to be available for one another, but He will never fail. And we have to learn to rely upon Him. What happens when the pastor takes a vacation after 3 years? What are you going to do? What happens when the deacons are busy? What are you going to do? You're going to have to learn to rely on God. Amen. Judges chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, "Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them?" And the Lord said, "Judah shall go up." Praise needs to go up before you. We need to have some worship going forth. We need some joyful noise. We need some victory songs to be sang. We need this praise group to go forth first. "Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand." And Judah said unto Simeon, his brother. Now, once again, this is being personified in the first person. It sounds like there's individuals, just a couple, 12 individuals. But Judah represents a whole tribe. Simeon, his brother, represents the tribe of Simeon. "Judah said unto Simeon, his brother, come up with me into my lot, that we may fight against the Canaanites. And likewise, I will go with you into your lot. You come help me, I'll come help you." So Simeon went with him. That's wonderful. So far, so good. It takes humility and it takes wisdom for us to recognize and to ask for help. There are things that we shouldn't try to do by ourselves. There are things that we, and there, many hands make light work, as the saying goes, even in the natural. We'll undertake to break our backs and do something that if we just had a work day at the church, we could get it done just like that and it wouldn't be hard for anybody. Right? There are times when we should call for help. It's wise. It's actually a blessing on others. And then you will reciprocate. You will gladly help your brother that has helped you. But it takes humility, it takes wisdom. And no matter how long we walk with God, we can always use some help at some time or another. Amen. On the other hand, we need to pray about and use wisdom in deciding who we're going to share our burdens with and who we're going to ask for help from. Because there will always be in churches people that will turn right around and they'll tell everybody in the church what it was that you just told them in private. "I'm sorry, but that's how it is. I'm sorry, but the devil didn't take a day off." And somehow, they and the ones that they tell it to will think that it's okay to criticize that person that opened up to them about their problem or their need. So it's part of our walk, friends, to recognize that the devil didn't say, "Okay, I see that you've all left the world and you don't have any part with me, and I have no part with you, and so I'm not going to trouble you as a church. I see that door and I see that cross and it just scares me. I'll just stay outside. I'm not comfortable coming in." He's the best church member there is because he never misses a service. He's the first one here and the last one to leave. "Well, I won't anoint somebody and send them through the church to stir things up and cause division? That wouldn't be right. He does, and he will. But knowing that, don't go to the other extreme and say, well, I'll just keep all of this to myself because it's safer that way. That's why we have a pastor. That's why we have deacons. That's why we have ministers. That's why we have one another. Yes, there will certainly be and is true believers that you can depend on. But you need to use wisdom. You don't tell everybody. Judah had some confidence, obviously, in Simeon and his brother. And rightfully so. He knew that he could trust him to swing the sword on his behalf and not use it to stab him in the back. Verse 3, and Judah said unto Simeon his brother, come up with me into my lot, that we may fight against the Canaanites. And I likewise will go with thee into thy lot. So Simeon went with him. And Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand. And they slew of them in Bezek 10,000 men. 10,000 men. One tribe would chase 1,000. I guess two tribes would chase 10,000, right? Listen to this. Oh my, looky here. There's a promise out yonder of divine healing. There's a promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Before you ever get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you may have to cut through the Methodist and the Baptist and the Presbyterian and the Christian Science and everything else. But if you're ready to go get it, it's out there for you. That's my testimony. I had to fight through that. God promised it and sent it to you. Amen. Look, I'll give it to you. The land is over there. But before you get there, you've got to fight. That's what's the matter with people today. They're afraid to stand and fight. Be courageous here tonight, friends. Be of good courage. The Lord is with you. The Lord has given you the victory. But you must fight the battle. But somehow it's easier for some to just live under the tent of this message. And some find security in going to a certain church with a certain reputation. And if that church is doing things for other churches or for the move in general, well, then they feel that it totally reflects on them. And though they might not ever lift a finger to themselves to help, but it's respect and prominence by assimilation or by association. Well, I do this and I do that and this is my tent. Well, why would you want to live in a tent when you can live in a house? We've seen many over the years that literally wander from church to church and from camp to camp and even legitimize what they're doing by pointing to what Israel did. But they overlooked the fact that Israel was told to settle down also and stop dwelling in tents. We've run into families that we've tried to help over the years. It just tears your heart out. Where they've wandered country to country, taking their children around from pillar to post. You invite them into your house and the children are just tearing things up and they don't know how to act. It's not their fault. It's Georgia the jungle. They don't have anything that they can call their own, and mom says, don't break that. They don't know how to. It's not their fault. But we've seen moms and dads that are just so spiritual. Well, we just kind of go around helping people, and we scratch their back, and they scratch ours, and we just have all things in common, and most of the time, you get the wife of separated in a conversation, and she'll break down and cry. And she'll tell you, we don't have anything that we can call our own. My husband's always giving it away, doing this in the name of religion. Well, they had all things in common in the book of Acts. They weren't wandering around in tents. or Winnebagoes. Well, there's no church in my area. That's why we're doing what we're doing. Even Israel had sense enough to move when there was nothing to eat on the land where their tents were pitched. So even if you're a camper, moved, camp somewhere else. Boy, is it quiet. You can share this with somebody that might need it. You might meet them later on. But once you move, friends, quit being a tent dweller. Start planting your roots. Start taking your inheritance. Start building something that your children can take and go forward with. They shouldn't have to live in tents when you and I move off the scene. They should have a legacy. But I'm a free spirit. Boy, I've heard that so many times, I want to stick my finger down my throat. Don't do it. Well, I believe that we're all free to just follow the Spirit. I do too. The thing is, we all do follow after a spirit, but in this case, it's the same spirit. Not spirits that's taking us all in all different directions and chaos. That spirit, if we have the same spirit, it'll cause us to live and act like a body and overcome as individuals. Again, now isn't it strange? Now he said, it's yours. But it's just as full of Hittites and Jebusites and Canaanites and all kinds of enemies in there. They're walled up heavy. Now it's yours. Go take it. It's yours. Now I give it to you, but you go get it. Now that's people today. If you'd only seen when I tell you about divine healing and you'd say, well, Brother Branham, look, I was prayed for last night and I can't move my hand anymore. He says, that don't have one thing to do with it. Amen. Not a thing. It's yours. Amen. The promise is yours. Amen. Sure. Go get it. Sure. God give it to you. Okay, it ain't moving. But it's yours. Amen. Just hold on to it. It's yours. Claim it. It'll start moving eventually. Hallelujah. Friends, divine healing is so much greater than a miracle. A miracle doesn't even require faith. A miracle is sovereign. God can do a miracle and you didn't have a thing to do with it. Divine healing's all about faith. It's all about believing something that isn't as though it is. And watching it get worse. And you keep holding on to it. God's given me that promise. God's given me that promise. I'm getting better. I'm getting stronger. God is my healer. He promised it to me. Them Israelites, why sure? God just didn't get up there and take his brush and sweep them all out. Said, now come on in. Here you are. Sit down. God never did do that. You show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. See? You've got to go do it. And you've got to fight for every inch of ground that you have. Every man in here that's born again of the Spirit of God knows that you've had to fight for every inch of ground. How many can say amen to that? Amen. Toe the mark with Satan. Isn't that right? Friends, this is not a picnic. This is a battleground. Well, we want to have a picnic. Well, we'll have some. But this is a battleground. We never come here to eat cookies and so forth. We're in a battle. Who's got some cookies tonight? Could you imagine the United States Army training a man to sit around and eat cookies? And so forth? Why, he gives him a uniform and his gun and he trains him to get out there and fight and defend the nation. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to defend our God-given rights. What God said is ours. Let's stand right toe-to-toe with Satan. Let him know. We know it's ours. We are going to possess it. And you are going to move. I'm not moving. You are. And I'm going to wait right here until you move. Say, they're ours. We believe them. And you just might as well move back because you haven't got nothing at all. Satan hasn't got one legal rights of anything. Everything he's got is defeated. And the only thing he is a scarecrow. That's all. He can't bother you. A man that's born of the Spirit of God, there's nothing at all that can harm him. Didn't say that you won't be scared. Didn't say that you won't be pressured. Said that there's nothing that can harm you. The thing that you fear can't harm you. Now, Satan can push things over on you and just keep shoving you out and shoving you out. If I went to my house tomorrow night and I looked up there and there moved into my house was a big bunch of people and they were drunk and prostitutes and carrying on, why, I'd put them out. Well, how are you going to do it? Well, they say, well, I'm a human. This house is made for humans. I can live here too. And I say, well, this belongs to me. This is my legal possession. I've got an abstract deed here at the courthouse that shows that this belongs to me. Friends, you've got a deed that came from heaven itself that says it belongs to you. And it's signed in blood. It's paid for in blood. It's redeemed in blood. And I'd serve notice on them. And they'd have to move. If they didn't, there's a law downtown that'll make them move. Is that right? And the law in this case is the word. The word will make them move. Amen. Well, anything that Satan's put upon you in the way of sickness or whatever it is, every born-again person has an abstract warrant, has a warrant from God. And the Holy Spirit is here to put the devil out. No matter if he's cancer or a tumor or a cataract, whatever it is, whatever he is, the Holy Spirit will put him out. Amen. If you'll serve notice on him in the name of Jesus Christ, because he has no legal rights. I am the Lord that healeth all thy diseases. Is that right? He was wounded for our transgressions. With his stripes we are healed. But you've got to go and over and take it. See? Now Israel, they started out. God said, that's your land. I give it to you right now. Now I'm going to give you a witness to go before you. Here's going to be a pillar of fire. It's going to follow you. They followed the pillar of fire outside the land. Now the pillar of fire is following them. These signs shall follow after those that believe. Well, Brother John, those guys are just chasing after signs. That's a problem that I have with them. We've been accused of that. Ever since we moved to Tucson, they're a bunch of sign seekers. I never, ever did seek a sign. But the signs do follow after me because the word said it would. If Christ is in you, signs are following him. If he's here, there's a vindication that he's here. If his presence is here, there's a vindication. If this is his word, he'll prove it. Here's going to be a pillar of fire. It's going to follow you. It'll lead you just exactly where you should go. Well, that's the same Holy Spirit that's leading the church today. The only thing you say is, well, now, God tells me in my heart that Jesus Christ healed me. This is my possession. I take it. I go on. It's mine. Well, then, you just go on. The Holy Spirit just keeps leading you. No matter how you're feeling, if you go to your feeling, then you're certainly, if you go back to that, every time that you have a negative testimony, every time that you look at your symptoms, then you're fallen right then. That's a powerful statement, isn't it? There's not a Christian in here, no matter how solid you are in the faith, if right now that you something happened to get a hold of you and tell you that you're not a Christian, and you start out testifying, well, I'm not a Christian no more. You dropped right then. You're no more a Christian anymore. As soon as you testify that you're not a Christian, then you've dropped from grace right then. You've fallen because your own speech tells what you are. Faith acts every time. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Be of good courage tonight, friends. Be of good courage. Again, He says, brothers, footsteps is possession. Ministering brethren, don't be afraid to put footprints where God has told you to go. Amen. Brother Eli knows this as much as I. Every time the Lord leads you to do something, down in your heart, you know He's leading you to do it. But there's something there that's trying to challenge you. There's just something there that's trying to keep you from doing what God told you to do. It's fear. But you go and do it anyway. And God vindicates it. But it's never easy. Even when you know. And of course, if you're a true minister, you want to know. So you're not going to do something until you know. But even when you know, you still got to press through that fear. He told Joshua, everywhere the soles of your feet set, that's yours. Amen. We don't back up. We take what God said, and that's the truth. No matter what the opposition is, how great it seems, how difficult it seems, if God said so, it's yours. When he gave it to Joshua, he never said, well, I'll take all the Havites and Philistines and give it to you. Joshua had to fight for every inch of ground. But God was with them. And every inch of ground you'll cover, brother, to make footprints, you'll fight your way through. But take the sword of the Spirit, brother, and move right on. Footsteps is possession. That's where we're at in this journey, friends. Again, he says, well now, God didn't just go over there and take a broom and sweep out all Canaan and all the Amorites and Hittites and all of them and sweep them all out and say, come on in, Israel, this is yours. They've even planted the crops for you. No, sir. They had to fight every inch of the way. That's right. But they had the promise of victory. God told Joshua, wherever the soles of your feet tread, I have given it. That I have given you. So footprints means possession. Listen to this. I about choked when I read this. Footprints means possession. So in order for you to have footprints, you got to be walking, right? Footprints means possession. Remember that sister in the wheelchair? Oh, how cruel. How could he say, she's in a wheelchair, she can't walk. And you're telling her footprints is, how's she going to, footprints is possession? Get up and walk. That's your possession. You want to walk? Stand up. Walk. Take it, it's yours. You say, well, that couldn't happen. Why not? Was it promised to her? Is it promised to you? Is there just certain things that he wants to do for us and other things he doesn't? Is there anything too hard for God? Turns to that woman. Can you imagine that? Remember that sister in the wheelchair? Footprints means possession. Every time the soles of your feet touch, that's it. Take that much ground. Say, well, I couldn't wiggle my finger yesterday, but I can wiggle it today. You got that much more possession. Just keep moving on. Just keep moving on. Just keep going on. Tomorrow, you can wiggle your hand. Today, it was a finger. Tomorrow, a hand maybe. The next day, maybe your arms. Then the first thing you know, here you go. Just keep it going. See, footprints is possession. How many believes that tonight? When you come to total obedience, then you can have possession. Full obedience to God's word entitles you to the token, and the token entitles you to whatever you have need of. But until you totally obey, you've got to completely surrender your own thoughts, your own will, your own mind, and let the mind of Christ operate in you. Now, do you think that Christ, the mind of Christ in you would say, well, the days of miracles are past? Do you think the mind of Christ in you would say, the Bible's right in some places and not in others? The mind of Christ would sanction every word that Christ ever said. It's right. So if you don't use your own mind, just use His. Just use His mind. Again, when God gave Israel the promised land while they were still in Egypt, they had to fight every inch of that land. God told Joshua in Joshua 1, wherever the soles of your foot treads upon, that I've given you for a possession. So footprints means possession. Some people can just barely get to the edge of the land. Some can take the two-handed sword and cut their way through Philistines and Amorites until they take the whole thing. That's what we should do. Every promise is to us. Footprints is possession. Walk right up and take it. God give it to us, and it's a promise, and it's the truth, and it's for us. And the church says, amen. One more. Perseverant. Now you see, after you have become a Christian, many people think, well, after I become a Christian, that settles it. All I have to do is just say, well, glory to God, everything's mine. No, sir. You are mistaken. You fight every inch of ground that you take. God told Israel down in Egypt, I've given you that promised land. But He told Joshua when he went in, everywhere the soles of your feet tread, that I give you. It was already given to them, but they had to fight for every inch of it. In other words, footprints means possession. Just keep walking. Now they had to fight it. But God gave it to them. Friends, if we believe that God gave it to us, we'll fight for it. We won't settle for something less. We won't continue to be tent dwellers when we can dwell in a stable, built home that's built on a sure foundation. Something that our kids can grow in and gain their own experiences in. Become founded in. Let's stand tonight. You love the Lord?
Amen.
You've got to keep walking. Just keep right on walking. Keep walking in the light of the Word. You'll get to heaven someday if you walk in the right way. Keep walking in the light of the Lord. You've got to keep walking. Just keep right on walking. Keep walking in the light of the Lord. You'll get to heaven someday if you walk in the right way. Keep walking in the light of the Lord. You've got to keep walking. Right on walking, keep walking in the light of the Lord. You'll get to heaven someday if you walk in the right way of the Lord. Amen. You believe that? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done. I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget who brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget. No, never. Oh, Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget. How you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget. No, never. You've done so much for me. I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all, but I'll try. Yeah.
Yes, you've done so much for me. I cannot tell it all. You have taken my sins away. Yes, he's done so much for me. I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all, but I'm gonna try. Yes, you've done so much for me. I cannot tell it all. You have taken my sins away. Somebody say praise the Lord. I love him better every day. Yes, I love him better every day. Close by my side, I will abide. I love him better every day. Oh yes, I love him better every day. Yes, I love him better every day. Close by his side, I will abide. I love him better every day. Yes, I love him better every day. I love him better every day. Close by his side, I will abide. I love him better every day. Hallelujah. Higher, 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 lift Jesus higher. Higher, 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 lift Jesus higher. Lower, 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 stop Satan, lower, lower, lower. Lower, 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 stop Satan, lower. Cast your burdens unto Jesus, for he cares for you. Cast your burdens unto Jesus, for he cares for you. Higher, 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 higher. Cast your burdens unto Jesus, for he cares for you. Cast your burdens unto Jesus, for he cares for you. Lower, 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 stop Satan, lower. Lower, 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 stop Satan, lower. Cast your burdens unto Jesus, for he cares for you. Cast your burdens, for he cares for you. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adores him. What a mighty God we serve. Oh yes, what a mighty God we serve. Yes, what a mighty God we serve. The angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adores him. What a mighty God we serve. I will praise him, praise him. I will praise him in the morning, praise him in the noontime. Praise him, I will praise him. I will praise him when the sun goes down. And I will love him, I'll love him. I will love him in the morning, love him in the noontime, love him. Yes, I'll love him. I will love him when the sun goes down. I'll serve him, I'll serve him, I'll serve him. I will serve him in the morning, serve him in the noontime, serve him. I'll serve him, I will serve him when the sun goes down. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. We'll sing one more and I'll hand it over to our song leader. Hallelujah. You love him?
Amen.
Oh my. I should ask Brother Merritt, who's got these, got the... He can tell you where it's at in the songbook. I can't find it. Well, thank God I'm free. Let's put that up. For a long time I traveled down a long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy, should I say no? But then I heard about Jesus. What a wonderful hour. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out through His saving power. Oh, thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out, show me the way. Like a bird out of prison that has taken his flight. Like a blind man that God gave back his sight. Like a poor wretched beggar, found fortune and fame. I'm so glad He found out He would bring me out through His holy name. Oh, thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Oh, hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out, show me the way. Oh, thank God I am free, I'm free, I'm free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood.